Welcome to the Property Lovers Podcast. I'm your host, Dominique Grubisher. This podcast series is all about giving you a competitive edge in your property journey. We'll be discussing little known strategies, tools, and information to help you add value and create wealth through property. Now, obviously, we don't know you or your unique position, so this is not financial or investment advice. It is information of a general nature, and you should always seek professional advice as to your situation before you ever invest in anything. But if you want to play a bigger game in property and want to use property as your vehicle to create wealth and, more importantly, freedom, then you're in the right place. Let's do this. Let's get started. In this Property Lovers Podcast episode, I'm going to share what I believe to be the 10 most common mistakes that people make when buying property. There probably are a lot more than 10, but I'm going to start with 10 off the top of my head. And these are things that I've seen personally, in other words, I've made the mistakes myself, mistakes that I've seen as a lawyer and mistakes that I've seen generally from our community. So first up, a common mistake is that in a lot of states, you can buy subject to something. So you could buy subject to you getting finance, or you could buy subject to you doing a pest and building report. And the agent often says, yeah, that's in the contract. It's subject to XYZ. You can't do that often in New South Wales, but other states you can. So let's talk about other states first. What tends to happen is that people say, oh, well, that's okay. It's my get out of jail free card. So I'll sign the contract, the offer will get accepted, and then they think that they can get out of it. But remember, a subject to clause is only for that thing. So if it's subject to finance and you can get finance, but you decide that you don't like the termite activity and it doesn't say it's subject to a pest report, then you can't get out of the contract. So just be very careful that you've covered your bases and that if you do go to pull out within that period, that it is for the thing that you're allowed to pull out for. Now, the other thing is in some states and in New South Wales especially, you can have a cooling off period. In other words, you can buy the property, put down your deposit, but if you decide within the cooling off period that you want to get out of the contract, then you can. However, just remember that you will forfeit some of your purchase price. So in New South Wales, yes, you can pull out of the contract within 5 business days, which is the usual cooling off period, but you will forfeit 0.25% of the purchase price. So you put down a 10% deposit, say. It works out at $250 for every $100,000 of the purchase price. So it can be thousands of dollars that you forfeit if you don't go ahead with that contract. Next common mistake is people not doing their due diligence, so not realizing things. Now, if you've got a good lawyer or conveyancer or settlement agent, they'll look at the contract and they'll explain to you what's included or what's not included. But sometimes people buy with their eyes and their emotions and they think that things are included with the sale that are not included. So just be careful of that, because when you're signing a contract, you're agreeing to everything as it was at the time of signing the contract. So be careful, for example, that everything's in working order, or that the pool pump works at that time, because when you go to settle, if you later say, well, hang on a minute, that should be fixed, they'll say, no, it's always been like that, and you sign the contract like that. Another common mistake is not realizing things that you should would have noticed because you're emotional. I'm probably the poster child for that. I once bought a 2-bedroom apartment and one of the bedrooms didn't have windows at all. And I was emotional. I bought it, was my first property and I was going to live in it. And it wasn't until I was moving in that my dad said, hang on a minute, where's the window? This room is very dark. And I realized it didn't have windows. What they'd done when I bought was they put curtains on the wall and I just assumed that the curtains were hiding a window, but they weren't. Probably a rookie error, not many people would do that, but you do fall for it when you're buying with your heart and not your head. Another common mistake is to not read the contract. So just be careful about things like GST, land tax, and boxes that are ticked on the contract. Make sure that you're not paying for something or signing up for something that you didn't realize that you were inheriting that in the purchase price. Another mistake is to not look at easements and things impacting the property. So an easement is something where it can be either you have the benefit of it or the burden of it. So for example, sewage pipes going under the property, there may be an easement for the council or whatever to dig them up. Or you can't build over them or go near them. It may be power lines. It may be another property needing access across your property. There's some sort of right of way that they pass over your land to get to their land. And all of that will show up if you do your proper due diligence at the time of buying. Again, good lawyer or conveyancer should tell you that. And that can impact things like if you want to put a pool in the backyard or you intend to build, they're the sorts of things you should look at. Because you may find that you thought that it was a nice level backyard and you could just plonk a pool in, but you can't because there's an easement and you can't go near it or build over it. And the list goes on. The other thing that can happen is you just pay too much as a buyer. Maybe you haven't done your suburb due diligence well enough. Maybe you're comparing oranges and apples. It's in a different sector of the suburb or it's not in the Golden Triangle, but you're overpaying for what you're getting. Different suburbs have different nuances. Or alternatively, you've got something in mind of what you want to do, but you may think, oh, I'll add a second story or an extra bedroom, but you're not going to get your money back on that. In other words, you're overcapitalizing just because you don't understand the area. And I've done that many a time, and it means that there are often the good side of the highway or the bad side of the highway or the railway tracks or wherever. And you just can't compare one view or one area with another, but you're thinking that you can. Now, all of these things can work in your favor. Also, as a seller, I've bought in the wrong part of town and paid too much, but I've also sold a property that got compared with another property that was much better, but the buyer didn't realize that. The other thing that people sometimes don't get right, they don't have their ducks in a row when they're buying, they don't have their finance ready, or they assume, maybe they've gone online and they've done a quick little, do I qualify for a loan? And they've done a little quiz that says that they do. But when push comes to shove, they can't get the money for the purchase. But the contract is then unconditional. They've paid a 10% deposit. Not only could they lose their whole deposit, but what could also happen is that the seller could ask for what they call specific performance. In other words, force them or compel them to complete the contract or sue them for the whole amount. So that can be a real problem. Make sure that you've got your finance in order and that you're certain. An online form or quiz or ringing up over the phone is not the equivalent to a pre-approval. And even a pre-approval can be subject to a valuation. And in a falling market like now, if the valuation comes in lower, there'll be a bigger shortfall that you have to cover on completion. So always good to have your finance a sure thing before making the contract unconditional. Make sure that the property you're buying fits lender's criteria. As I go on, I realise that probably every single one of these, I have made the mistake personally, and I'm a lawyer. So, do what I say, not what I did. So for me, I bought a very small studio apartment and no bank would lend on it. It was in the CBD of Sydney, so they just didn't like it as security. And I then realised that many banks have a policy that they won't lend on certain properties, and this just didn't tick their boxes. I had to go to an alternate lender and pay a lot more interest. The other thing that I've done is, apart from a property with no windows, I've also bought a property that was company title. So it's an old way of registering properties, and banks don't like to lend on company title. Instead of owning what they call the Torrens title or the Strata title, the actual property itself, you buy shares in a company and the company owns the building. So it's the old way that they used to do apartments. And this was an Art Deco 1920s apartment. Very hard to find finance for it. The next thing to be aware of are pretty much like easements, but restrictive covenants. So a restrictive covenant is something on the title to the property that stops you doing what you wanted to do with it. So maybe there are trees on it that you can't chop down, or maybe you can't build a dwelling on it when you thought that you could. It's specific to the title, not the council zoning. Another common mistake, and this would also be apparent if you looked at the title to the property and did your due diligence, restrictive covenant is one, and similar to that, heritage or some sort of protection of a character building. So sometimes people think they can knock it down or they can add another story or add value, but it's a protected building the way that it is. And I once looked at a property that looked like it would be fine. It was kind of a 1950s house. There didn't seem anything special about it, but it was like a museum. And not only was the garden protected with little waterfalls and wells in it, but also the actual home was protected. You couldn't do anything to it. You couldn't add a story. You couldn't change anything internally. So they're the sorts of things that you want to look out for. And finally, many of these mistakes may not seem like a mistake to you. So it may be something, for example, a heritage building that you think is nice and charming and who wouldn't want that? Or it may be something where you think, well, people wouldn't want to build. The yard's so big and lovely. Wouldn't you want to have a sprawling lawn? And wouldn't you want those beautiful trees? And who would want to chop them down? So that restrictive covenant doesn't matter. However, it's not really what you think unless you are certain that you're going to live in it to your dying day and it's not an investment and it's not going to, the value doesn't really bother you. You should, unless you are absolutely certain of these things, you should take into consideration what others will think. If you go to sell it, will it be a drawback? So one golden rule is try not to buy anything that has drawbacks. Even if it's not a drawback to you. So something that doesn't have windows in the second bedroom. In the end, I quite enjoyed it. It was quiet, it was dark, it was a place I went to sleep. But when you go to sell that, 90% of buyers are going to go, oh, well, it's really a one bedder because that room's just a storeroom. It doesn't have any windows. So just think about the end buyer, even if it doesn't concern you. So there you go. 10 things to consider that are common mistakes that buyers make. Why do we make them? Because we're property lovers and we think with our heart instead of our heads, and we don't know what we don't know. So if you want to be more proficient, or if you need more help and support around your property transactions, then join our community, connect with us, and leave us a review. I'd love to hear what you think, get your feedback, and love to engage and know what you want to know more about when it comes to all things property. If you're enjoying this podcast, we want to invite you to join the Property Lovers Facebook group. To find the group in Facebook, just search for Property Lovers. You'll see the group banner, which has the word Property Lovers Hub on it. It's a community for property lovers in Australia, and just like this podcast, it's been created to give you a competitive advantage so you can get superior results in property. Please come and join us today. That's it for today, but really looking forward to giving you more tools, more strategies, more support, and a competitive advantage when it comes to property in our next episode.